is a miracle.
Amen. Every time we come to church, there's a miracle. Because he's here. I appreciate that song, those songs. We're going to open our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 3, and then we'll go to verse 13. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. I'll read verse 4 and tell her to put it there. But then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Verse 13. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. In Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that shall come shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, and all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And then I want to read in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews 5, verse 8 through 14. Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, who even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we just look to you. Lord, we know that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and even before the world was, Lord, you had this little light here in your hand, and so, Lord, we just draw from that. Just believe, Lord, that you'll speak to the hearts of your people tonight. Just pray that you just get into the midst of your word. It's where you dwell, and so we know it is anointed. We ask, God, you just quicken us up to that realm and let us sit in heavenly places tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Man, the scriptures tells us that the law and the prophets and the things that were written in the Old Testament, they're written there for examples to us. Mm-hmm. And for us to not make the mistakes they made in places where they were good examples, to follow them as good examples and so forth. And so tonight I just want to kind of draw from that. I'm going to start out first by reading a quote. I heard Brother Branham say this morning while I was on the way to work, and I just thought it was really good. It's in Satan's Eden. He said, "And sometimes these little crude expressions bring us to something. It gets us to study, and it puts you in to reading the word." And that's what I want all my congregation to do. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So, read the word, study it, and study it with the eyes of God. You hear me say often that we want to see through God's eyes.
Yeah.
So we want to study the word with the eyes of God and give your intellectuals understanding of how we should live in this present day. I want to speak to you something to bring something to enlighten you to you, the promise of God for this age. See, something, not something that somebody else was in some other day, but them things are all right, and we refer to those things. But I thought I would try to bring something to your mind with the scriptures I got written here that would enlighten you to know how to know and make you a better soldier in the field that you're fighting in now. To learn the tactics of the enemy so that you can block everything before it gets to you. See, that's the main thing, is to learn to keep the punches off of you as much as you can.
Amen.
I think that's good advice. Amen. And so, I kind of feel the same way. So, here in Malachi chapter 3, we see that there were certain conditions, a certain condition that the world had got into there, and I'll try to speak on a little bit of that here in just a moment. But back in that time, this world had gotten such a condition, and Brother Bam tells us in The World Falling Apart, and he preached that several times, he said they had gotten into condition then, I forget which way he said it, but they were in the same condition then that we're in now, or we're in the condition now that they were then. Their world was falling apart. Everything had been corrupted. All the things that was going on, the Pharisees, Sadducees, all the different nonsense. And so people didn't know what to look to and what to turn to. And so here we are in this day. Brother Ben's telling us the world's falling apart. And I'm telling you what, you can sure see it now.
Yeah.
World is falling apart. And so he's paralleling those same two conditions. But in that condition, when the world back then had gotten into that case and that situation, it was at that time, in that condition, that God said, and we read in Malachi, we know Malachi was talking about the coming of the Lord, talking about a messenger coming before his face. And so it was in that world condition, at that time in the condition it was in, that he said, "Behold, I will send my messenger." So at that time, God was going to send a messenger, and that messenger would prepare the way before me. Now, you know, we've talked about this before, and you've heard it probably lots of other places, including the message. But they always had, when a king would go, they would send people out ahead of him to prepare the way for him. Not just, you know, when I think back years ago when President Bush came here to Van Buren, he didn't just show up one day, right? There were lots of people came ahead and made way for him. He came right here into Van Buren, I think, to the school and spoke. And so there was a lot of people went ahead of him and made preparation for him. Matter of fact, they shut the whole entire interstate down because nobody could get on it. And he come flying through there. And so when the king's going to come, they, you know, it's a, this is a concept. Even God shows it here. You send someone ahead of time to make people ready, get things ready for the king, make it easy for him. And so we see that in that hour when it was time for the Lord Jesus to come, he wouldn't just come, but he would first send someone who would prepare the way for the Lord to make it, I'll say it this way, like I just said, to make it easy for the Lord. And so it was in God's economy, he required there to be a messenger that would come first. And if you think about John the Baptist, you know, he was that messenger. He came, and, you know, the people that believed John, you know, believed Jesus. So the ones that rejected John rejected Jesus, right? It was kind of a, because he was the forerunner. And so, but God said, in that kind of condition, when everything looks terrible, now it's time for the Lord to come and straighten things out. And he's going to send a messenger before him first. And so when this messenger would come, I'm just kind of going through what we just read there, then this messenger would come, and when he had done his part to make way, then the Lord would suddenly come to his temple. Now, we know what his temple was then, right? His temple was that body that walked up and down the shores of Galilee that died on Calvary for us. Mm-hmm. The Lord suddenly came to his temple after the messenger had come. And so he would come to his temple, in the scripture said, even him that's the messenger of the covenant. Because we all know and agree that when Jesus came, he was packing the covenant. He was the messenger to bring the covenant to us. And so he had a forerunner. And so the Lord would come quickly to his temple, and he would be the messenger of the covenant. But the scripture said, but who's going to be able to abide that day when he comes? Who would be able to stand when he appears? And so, because we realize there's only one who's righteous and holy. And who can stand in the presence of that and have anything to boast? Right. Nobody can. And so, you know, Malachi is saying this. Who's going to be able to do that? Because when he comes, he's going to be like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He's going to be like a refiner's fire because, you know, you use fire to purify silver and gold and so forth. You use fire to burn up the chaff and all the things that, you know, that's not wheat. And so this forerunner is going to come, and then the Lord's going to come, and he's going to be this refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And they use fuller's soap to make things white or to clean. And so he was going to be like that. So when the Lord would come, he was going to be doing something. He was going to deal with a situation there. He was going to be a refiner's fire, fuller soap. And he said that he should sit and refine and purify as he would with silver. Silver is redemption. And so, but he made this statement. He would purify the sons of Levi. Now, the sons of Levi was the priesthood, the ministry. And if you realize, you know, if you can get the ministry right, you know, the people who follow the ministry, the people who listen to the ministry, if you can get the ministry right, then the people can get right. Right? And so it's just like our nations, you know, all the wars that we have. It's not the people that want to fight. It's the leaders of the nations that do this stuff. And if you can get the leaders right, then the people can follow that which is right. But then, you know, when the leaders aren't right, look what's happening. We also know that it's a curse of God to let a leader who's a wicked man, you know, come across and be a leader of a country and judge the whole country because of it. Do we understand that concept? And so, but he would come, and one of his purposes there was, you know, to purify, and he would purify the ministry. He would purge the ministry and the sons of Levi. And so the scripture said, and then, after that purging has come, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem would be pleasant unto the Lord. Because it wasn't prior to that, right? And so we know that Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist came. Jesus, he came to his temple, his body, and he brought the covenant. And so we understand all that. But we realize also, You know, and this was a Bible study question, I think, that about the John the Baptist and being Elijah and so forth. We know that John the Baptist was Malachi 3, not Malachi 4. And so we also know that Jesus said, after John, who had already been beheaded, Jesus said, truly, Elijah shall come. And so there was a future coming, at least one that we know of from Scripture there. We know there's more than that, but a coming of Elijah that would come. Right. And we know there would be a forerunner. And so yeah, we had a forerunner back then, and the Lord came to his temple, and he would purify and deal with the ministry. But we also know that there was to be another forerunner. And if there's going to be another forerunner, then there would be another temple that the Lord would suddenly come to after that forerunner. And so there would be another ministry come to this earth, in the presence of the Lord coming to this earth, that would purify. That it would his whole purpose would be to purify, and as I just said a while ago about the priesthood, to purify the ministry. Because if you can get people preaching the right thing, then people can follow the right thing. You understand that? You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't need preacher, I don't need that. Well, why did God put fivefold ministry in there? He put them in there for a reason. You know, it's a program of God. Yeah. And so then there would be another purging that would take place of the ministry. Now, we realize it's not talking about the whole world, because the whole world didn't go out, you know, at the time, didn't come out and believe John. And they won't today, but there is a people, there is a ministry that God would get them straight, that he would purify them, and then after that offering could be pleasing to the Lord. So we know that's happened again in our day. This is exactly what's going on now. And so the world had gotten to such a place there where the scripture said that the proud called them happy, and workers of iniquity were set up, and they that tempted the Lord were delivered. And we see that again today. We see what's happened in our day, the way the world is acting. And so here at the end time, we have this thing that has come. And so along with that, he goes on and he goes from that. At that time when all this is unfolding and you've got all these people that are arrogant and tempt the Lord, and it looks like the righteous, the wicked are all, you know, delivered and blessed and so forth. The scripture said there that was at that time that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. We've talked about this many times in the past. It's one of my favorite passages to speak on. But they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know, for that means that whatever was going on in their relationship with God and their desire for the things of God was ever before them. And when they'd get together, they'd fellowship and they'd talk about those things. And so, as we've said, you know, fear, not like you're afraid he's going to destroy you, but a reverence, a respect for God and for his word. And God desires and demands, as Brother Rev said, God demands respect, that we respect his program, respect his word. And so if we truly fear the Lord, you know, when we get together, we're going to talk about the Lord. We're going to speak often one to another about it. And the scripture said that God took notice to that. God would take notice to that. To those who would speak often, you know, about him, he would take notice of that. And he said a book of remembrance was written.
Right.
Now, as I said the other day, God don't need a book. Mm-hmm. God didn't need the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows. So he doesn't have to open those so he can remember what it was that was put in there. That book being opened and those revelations were for you and I. But God remembered these that had feared him and spake often, and he was pleased with that. In an hour where everything's going south, everything's all messed up, here's a people who fear the Lord, and they speak often, and God says, I'm going to remember them, and he says, I'm going to spare them as a man who spares his son who serves him. Okay. And so this whole thing, as you see, as we read in the scriptures, is talking about a day of purifying. A day that burns as an oven, where the God is going to come and he's going to make up his jewels. And the only thing I can think of when he says that is he's going to take a fire and he's going to purify the gold, purify the silver, and make up his jewels. And so it'll be a day that burns as an oven. And that day where he is purifying his gold and his silver, making up his jewels, that same day that burns as an oven is going to burn up the wicked. Right. It's all going at the same time. Right? The same flood that destroyed the world took Noah up. Right?
Yeah.
And so God knows how to do those things. And so, here we are. Judgment is being poured out. And so he says, I'll spare them as a man spares his son. And he says, then ye shall return and ye shall judge between the righteous and the wicked. I'm titling this today, Discerning Good and Evil at the End Time. To discern good and evil. So he says, I'll spare them. Spare them from what? Spare them from judgment. Mm-hmm. I'll spare them, and then ye shall return. And so for people who don't believe in rapture, I say, return from where? Mm-hmm. Where is he taking them? What conditions is he putting them in where he will spare them in this day of judgment where the wicked's going to be burned up, but they're going to be spared? Mm-hmm. Where are they going to be? And wherever they are, they're going to return back here.
Right.
And he says, when they return back, they're going to judge between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serves God and him that doesn't. Yeah. And we know the scripture tells us we're going to judge the earth. We will judge angels. Mm-hmm. What the scripture says. So I'm showing you that here it is in these days, in these conditions, what we see now mm-hmm. is repeating. Mm-hmm. It's just like it was in that day, like Brother Rem said, his world falling apart, because it's the same condition now that it was then. We see it again. We've got a messenger. He has come. And the Lord has come because of that. And he's prepared the way. And now we have a ministry and a work in the land that is purifying and straightening out a ministry that they can preach the truth to you, the right things, and not be denominationally led.
Right.
And then through that, then the Lord can come to his temple. Mm-hmm. And I ask you, what is his temple today?
Right.
It's his church.
Right?
Right? This ministry that has come is to prepare us so that the Lord can quickly come to his temple,
right.
Us, right? And so all this is all unfolding. He's sparing us. And he brings us to the place where we can judge between righteous and the wicked.
Right.
And so that's why I was speaking, titling this what I have tonight. So we know, as we say so many times, Brother Brim said, death doesn't change you, it just changes your dwelling place.
Right.
So if we expect to be able to sit with him and judge there, that we have to come to that condition here.
Right.
We have to come to the revelation, and we have to come to a place where we can discern between good and evil, righteous and unrighteousness.
Right.
That's where God is bringing us. So as all this ministry is coming forth and God is purging, he's bringing us to the place where we can discern between good and evil, between right and wrong.
Amen.
And so if we are approaching rapture, which I believe we are, not just we are in rapture, but if we're approaching, our body changes, then these things are beginning to become resident. And I, a lot of times, I think it's this way probably big part of the time, God does things and has you in a place in your life and you don't even realize you're there yet. He gives you a revelation and has you in a position and you're still doubting your position. And so, but he's doing these things to get us to the place where we can discern, where we're going to be ready to sit on that throne with him. And so, it is doing it in this present world where everything's just all blended together, and they take right and make it wrong and make wrong and make it right and try to blend genders and everything else.
Yeah.
See, it's a condition that is here that God intends for us to overcome.
Right.
Right? We're going to overcome, and so he wants us to be able to discern between right and wrong. He wants us to know what the difference between male and female is.
Right?
What right and wrong is right. And all the different things you see the world trying to blend and make it where it, you know, like somebody said, apparently you can just be whatever you want to be. And I said, well, then, okay, I'm going to identify as a president of the United States. I'm going to go take over and fix this stuff, you know, or whatever. If you can just say, well, I'm this and that's who you are, it's nonsense. It's insanity.
Right.
If this is the kind of world, the kind of condition, world falling apart, and God said, in this kind of condition, my bride's going to come forth. My people is going to come forth and shine, and they're going to be able to discern. This is not going to affect them. The rest of the world might not know which way is up, but my people are going to be able to discern what's right and wrong. They're not going to be mixed up. They're going to know what truth is. And that's the way he can lift you up and keep you above all these things, is just by this revelation and him purging us and bringing us to that spot. And so he brings us to the place, as we said there, you'll return and you'll judge between the righteous and the wicked.
Yeah.
So in order for us to be able to do that, we have to come to that. And it's this ministry and this purging that has come to do that. And that's exactly what's going on. And so in this present world, we are ordained to be able to discern. But discernment is not the work of a child. Because we read there in the scriptures that, you know, it's not the work of a child, but it's for those of full age and those who can eat meat.
Right.
That's what we read. Because he goes on to say, and we read that we that are full age and can eat meat, and I say that, you know, humbly, believing that we, you know, not boastfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, to those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of full age, it's not for a child, it's not for someone on milk, but it's for those who can eat the strong meat of the word. And so, you know, you've heard it so many times before about the, you know, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And all of those, lion, the ox, and the man, they all feed their young milk first. They have to grow up to become. But you know, the eagles feed their young meat. And I've always thought, every time I heard that, was that underneath this message, even newborn babes in the message can eat the meat of the word.
Right.
And so that speaks, you know, I mean, those who, you get out and you work real hard, you can't go very far on a bowl of cereal. You know, you got to have something strong,
right.
Something to stay with you for a while. And so, you know, it stands to reason that you have to have a meal fitting for the job that you need to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's talking about there. So to come to the place of discernment, to be able to discern between right and wrong, is a level of maturity. It only comes from being a full age, and only comes from being able to eat the meat of the word, because that whole revelation of the word is what brings that to us. Amen. And so we want that to have its place in us. And we want to have, by reason of use, have our senses exercised. And so, you know, you don't just jump out and do something the first time. You know, you got to exercise if you want to be good at it.
Yeah.
If you want to be a good guitar player, you got to do it a lot. If you want to be anything. You know, I forget how many thousands of hours they say that you have to do something to become master at it.
Right.
You know, for a guitar or whatever, you know, there's muscle memory and all those things that where they don't even have to look. They're really good. They don't even have to look. They can just play the guitar all over the neck. And well, it takes a lot of time of exercising, right?
Yeah.
It's over and over and over. And so the scriptures is telling us here that coming to this place of being able to discern right and wrong and good and evil and righteous and unrighteous, you know, it is a maturity level. It's a growth level that we come to, and it has a whole lot to do with what you eat. You can't be a babe. You can't stumble at this message. And I know there's people in message churches, and they stumble at the word. And it's like, you know, I mean, they won't let Brother Branham be a man. I've heard, you know, I heard Perry Green say that years ago, and that always stuck with me. Because Brother Brown was a man. He did make mistakes. But the word of the Lord and the message that came through him is a perfect message.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that in order for that portion to come, it has to dovetail with us. We have to have something to dovetail with it, as Brother Daniel said the other day, right? And so if you've got the part that dovetails with this word, you don't have a problem with the fact that the man made mistakes.
Right?
Right? You don't have a problem with that. Because you're not looking at the man anyway. You're looking at the thing that you're dovetailing.
That's right.
And that's what makes the difference. But so many people, they stumble. And you know, Jesus, I think it was, and I think this is correct, whenever he was saying, you know, what went you out to see? Talking about John the Baptist. But his John the Baptist's disciples came and said, you know, are you the one? He said, are you the one that was to come, or should we look for another one? And Jesus said, Jesus did not say, yeah, I'm the one. Jesus said, go back and tell John what you see. The dead are raised. You know, gospel is preached to the poor,
yeah.
And blessed is he who's not offended in me.
That's right.
And that rings out today with this forerunner. There's plenty of opportunity to question and go, is this right? Is this really the message? And I say to you, what do you see? What do you see this message doing? What is it producing in the people who are embracing it?
Yeah.
Think about it. And so Jesus did it because Jesus is not in the business of coming and just firmly telling you thus and thus. He's in the business of that revelation sparking in your heart so you know from inside what's right and what's wrong. And that's what he's bringing you to. And so all this is going on in this age where everything's mixed up and all this good and evil, and God intends for us to be able to discern and between right and wrong. You know, and I said this the other day, Sunday, you know, the word muse means to think, to ponder. And I was saying, you know, we have at work, because of test equipment, we have a word we use all the time, synchronous or asynchronous. Synchronous is when there's two or more events that happen at the same time.
Right.
They're synchronized. You put the letter A in front of that, it becomes asynchronous. And it means that events that are not happening at the same time.
Right.
So when you put the A in front of it, this is not English class, but you put the A in front of it, it negates it. It makes it different.
Right.
So if muse means to ponder and to think, amusement is not to think.
Right.
And so we tune into things and we do things, and we're just so engulfed with this world that it amuses us.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is it's robbing your ability to think and ponder.
Right.
And as Brother Bram said, just this thinking about this going on, and then I heard him this morning say what he said, you know, that these things, he wants us to think about this and ponder and study. And see, because if we want to come to the place where we can discern right and wrong, then, you know, we have to give attention to the very message that comes that does that and makes us mature. We have to look at that. And so we need to muse. But Satan's got so much stuff out there to keep people amused that they're not really thinking. That's all I've said many times, that I think a book is better than a movie, because in the book, and when you're reading it, your mind paints the whole picture custom to you. Custom to what you want, what's exciting to you. But if you watch it on a movie, well, you know exactly what color the wall is, you know what the man looks like, you know, it doesn't, you know. And so, to me, God wants us to ponder and to think and chew this word and kick it around and talk to one another and speak to one another. See how it all works? It's a people who the word is their whole life.
Right.
This is what is more important to them than anything else, so that they talk about it, and God looks at that, and he takes notice to that, and says, I'll spare them. We've come to this hour that this is the life of believers now, to take this word and it to be our life, to talk about it, to chew on it, and let it change us and bring us to a level of maturity, get us ready for rapture, get us to the place where we can discern right and wrong, and we have to be able to do that now. And there's people still, like I said, you meet people in the message, and you talk to them for a while, and you realize they are struggling with the message.
Right.
They're struggling with things that this prophet has said. And And I feel for them, okay? I'm not, but, you know, there is a, it's, you know, like the story Brother Branham tells about the man with the lantern. There's a, you know, you have to take steps when the Lord reveals things to you. And you got to step into what he shows you. And when you step into what he shows you, he'll show you more. You know, he will do that. And so there's a level of obedience that has to be there. And you can't stand here and say, God, I can't see the house. I can't see it. Why haven't you shown me the house? And I can hear him saying, well, because you haven't stepped in the part that I did show you.
Right.
And there's no preacher in the world that can fix that in you if you won't walk.
Yeah.
You've got to walk in the part God has given you.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and God has given ministry there. You know, the scriptures say, know those who labor among you. I mean, he expects you to look and be able to say, you know what? I know the character of the ministry. I know the character of the brothers and so forth. And that should mean something, right? And so when those, that especially those that have gone on before, those that have walked many years, many hours, and so forth, they've got something they can share with you. If they've walked a life with the Lord for many, many years, you could listen to them. Because
right.
They've got something they can tell you. Because they don't get that way by being a goofball.
Yeah.
They get that way because they've learned a few things. And listen, all of us have had hard knocks.
Sure.
And if the Lord tarries, someday you'll be, you younger people, you'll be the ones that older who've had just the hard knocks that somebody could be able to draw from you.
That's right.
But there's always somebody that you can draw from. And so when you get together and you talk to one another and you fellowship with one another around the word, there's a dynamics working in God's people, moving us. We're not sitting still. We're moving, but you've got to move with it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so I hate to see people struggling in things. And there have been things that, you know, I hear and I'm like, I don't understand that, you know, and I would just kind of lay it over to the side. And at God's own time, in some way that I would have never guessed, he'd go over and pull that off the shelf and make it very clear. I understand it.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, it's not intellect, it's revelation.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we certainly want that to be working in our lives, and we know as Christians it is. So, it is for those that have strong meat, it's for eagles. That's the age we're in. They eat meat. And so, as I've been saying in the last few services, that when we have, the scripture says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word is what discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Brother Branham could tell people what's going on in their life because the word of the Lord came to him and showed that to him.
Right.
If the word had not come to him, he couldn't do that. Because it's in that the discernment is in the word. Because that word is what created it. That word knows all those things. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It knows the difference between joints and marrow. It knows what's going on in your life. It knows what part of you is godly and what part's not.
Right.
And so my point is the word knows it, and you got to get in the presence of the word, and the word will reveal to you what you need to lay down of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll show you and it'll reveal to you who you are in God. But it's that discernment of the word. And as I think Brother Daniel said the other day, you know, we have to judge ourselves. Right? I think we read it the other day. You have to judge yourselves. And if you will judge yourselves with this message, you will not be judged and condemned with the world.
Right?
Right? So we take this word and prepare us, and it makes us the people that God wants us to be.
Yeah.
And so we got to take the word and let the word discern us.
Right.
And then when it shows us something that's not right, we need to surrender that to the Lord. Let the word guide us.
Right.
Amen. And so God didn't say, you know, that, you know, this wasn't going to be an easy age. He's not doing this. You know, Brother Branham, I think in God of This Evil Age, he said, why would God do that? Why would he choose this evil age to call his bride? Because he's going to show, right, that she's not like Eve. He's going to show that she's overcomers. And so I'll end by saying this, that when we look out here and we see the world doing what it's doing, blending things together, and all I could just go on and on. When you see that, that's vindication of the very hour we live in, because we just went through this. were in the same condition that they were back then, all messed up. A prophet has told us. And here we are. We've got a messenger that came. He's brought a word that will purify. It'll straighten out your ministry. It'll straighten you out.
Yeah.
And it'll prepare you for body change. It'll prepare you to be able to move to that other dimension and be able to judge.
Right.
And judge between the righteous and the wicked. And come back from that rapture body change. Come back to this earth and stand here and be a judge. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we thank the Lord for all the mercy and grace that he's given to share us with those the things that he has with us. And so we want to be good stewards of it.
Yeah.
So let's just bow our hearts for you just for a moment. Try not to stay too long on Wednesday nights. Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you that we thank you for this little time, this little group of people, Lord, just to share this thought about discernment here at the end time. And ask the Lord that you just bless each one, Lord, that they would ponder on these things, and may they find strength in them. May they find this channel, this pathway in their lives where they grow in strength and obedience with you, Lord, because we know that's the pathway that will make things so much better for them. Lord, we know this is a work that you're doing. You have started it. You will finish it, and we trust you, Lord. You've never done wrong. But we know and we trust, God, that you will get us through. Just pray, God, that you would grant to us higher levels of revelation, levels of obedience, Lord, that we can know your ways even more. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 25. Sing this and you can be gone, okay? I'll let you dismiss.
All to Jesus I surrender.